section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting god, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
This song is called The Last Week of My Life.
And we are?
And we are the Slaughter Daughters. Right? One, two, three, four.
Folks, take two. Welcome to episode 142 of A Burns When I Pee. I'm Blake Clayton, and we're here at the High Note, but this tonight we're outside in the ambience because we have two lovely ladies. Never before on IBWIP have I stood between two lovely ladies. So thank you very much. I appreciate
you're
that.
Welcome.
Hashtag awesome. Anyway, We have the Slaughter Daughters with us. Cecilia, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Ariana,
yeah.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. It's confusing names.
They're
all right, well, we just saw you play your first time in Pekin, and thank you very much for spending some time with us. So I don't care who, you raise your hand, yell out the answer, it doesn't matter. So how long have the two of you guys been together as the Slaughter Daughters?
Two and a half years.
Yeah, we met each other about 2.5 years ago in Wichita.
All right.
And so after we met, we just started playing music together.
How did you come up with the name the Slaughter Daughters?
It just came to me.
Because our original name was Dead Tree String Band. And we thought about it a long time. We were trying to figure out what to name ourselves. And we came up with that name. And we kept it. And we started everything with it. We started Facebook and all bullshit. And then one day, she said Slaughter Daughters, something or another. And I was like, oh, that's a good band name.
Yeah.
Too bad we already have a band name. We're not changing it. And my very friends, Beeble Box, came to visit us when they were coming through town. And they said, Slaughter Daughters, you have to change your name to that. It doesn't matter what it takes. And so we changed it.
And it came to fruition to be.
It is perfect.
So well, do you guys remember the first time you met?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Describe.
Well, it was after this big bluegrass festival, the Walnut Valley Festival, right outside of Wichita. And there's this big picking party at our friend Rico's house.
Who I didn't really know.
Everybody's got a friend named Rico. I noticed. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well,
it's all the same guy. It's the same Rico. But there was tons of music going on in every room, and everyone was just playing with each other. And we were down in the basement, and she had a mandolin there, and I had a guitar, and we kind of sat there and played a song for each other and realized how similar our styles were. They're both minor keys. They're very dark lyrics. And our friends who were sitting in the same room right then and there said, oh, you guys need to start a band together. And we started playing music together.
It just came
to be. Yeah.
It's monumental moment.
And, like, I wasn't even supposed to... I was just in Wichita randomly because I did merch for another band. For Filthy Stone. And then after that was done, I went to Wichita just to visit some friends for a week. And then in that week, I went to that random party, and they were like, let's go to this party. And I was like, well, okay. And
so if it wasn't for Rico, there would be no Slaughter Daughters.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Thank you, Rico. So on your Facebook page, you were talking about how you have similar styles. And on your Facebook page, you have your genre listed as gothgrass.
Yes.
How did the Slaughter Daughters sound come to be? I know you said you both had the same kind of feel, but was it just an instantly you both had the same kind of feel and it just went from there, or did you have to work on a Slaughter Daughters sound?
No, that was one of the things that made it so easy is that we both kind of were in the more similar direction. I think that in the beginning, and I guess maybe even a little bit now, Cecilia's main influence are like old folk kind of groups like Woody Guthrie and what's her nuts?
Elizabeth Cotton,
stuff like that. And mine is more Those Poor Bastards and Lemley's,
sure.
Stuff like that. And so we kind of come at it from two different angles. Whereas I think that the angle I come at it is more aggressive. Kind of a way.
But we definitely
sort of
feed off each other and inspire each other with the songs that we come up with. And
she stole your question later on in here, Cecilia. So I'll just go ahead and skip to it. Cecilia, who influenced you most in music?
Oh gosh, sorry.
Well, there's a lot.
You can steal her answer for the next one. I'll show it to you. No.
There are a lot of musicians that I love and that inspire me, but the thing that inspires me most is seeing live musicians pouring out their heart, and that's what really makes me want to go home and write a song, is actually seeing it and feeling that feeling when you see someone pouring their heart out.
You guys don't have a full-length Slaughter Daughters album
yet. Mm-mm.
What, do you guys have any plans for putting out an album?
Yes, we do. We're looking to record this summer when we're at home. We're actually heading home right now, and the goal is to start recording immediately and try and get it done before, get it finished recorded before the fall, so that way we can try and get it out by this winter time.
Okay, here. Here's the question. Are you ready? So you can answer it for her. Do you know that one?
I have no idea. I don't even think she knows.
Okay. Ariana, you have a number of tattoos. Uh-huh. Do you remember your first tattoo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course.
What was it?
This is the first one I ever got.
Oh, yeah.
TLM.
Yeah. So should I just show the camera?
Sure.
So this tattoo I got when I was 15 years old. I ran away from home. And I went to Portland and I was hanging out with these friends of mine, they're kind of like scumbag, you know, gross punk rock guys. They're from Hawaii and they all moved to Portland. And TLM's the name of their band, Tweakin' Like Maddie.
Okay.
So I was 15, I ran away from home, I was in their you know, gross house called the Honey Bucket, that was the name. And our buddy Michael did it on me. He tattooed it on me, stick and poke style, really gross. Ink, I'm sure that he just poured back into the ink. It was really disgusting.
Not the most sanitary.
No,
whatever.
Very bad decision. But it, you know, I'm okay. It's okay.
And you'll never
it's
cover okay. it up.
You know, I have I pierced in New York for a long time, and a lot of tattoo friends tell me how I needed to let them cover it up, and I just feel really strange about covering it up because it was such an important time, I think, in my life
sure.
that really like helped. Shape who I am.
Sure.
I don't want to cover it up.
Right, and I have a number of tattoos as well, and I have always thought that no matter how that tattoo ends up, it's a part of your life and a part of a period of your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
well, I've certainly gotten a few things covered up that definitely just needed to because they're gross, and that's okay.
Sure.
You can do that, but this one in particular is just very kind of like sort of sentimental.
Sure, it was a good memory to have.
Sort of. It's an important memory.
There you go. There you go. That's a good way. So, I've often asked a lot of male artists how they deal with relationships since they're on the road from time to time, and we don't have many women on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of wanted a woman's point of view on handling relationships and being on the road.
Wow.
I know there are situations where other people are in other bands, even.
Mm-hmm. You want to take this?
But, yeah.
I mean, what are some of the things you find that help keep that bond?
FaceTime helps. But besides FaceTime, as of right now, we have both of our boyfriends with us in the van. They're playing with us, and they're also in a band. So what I do, because I do all the booking, is when they get their schedule. Andrew shows it to me, and then I just sort of make it so we can cross paths every few weeks.
Nice.
And so we don't really have to go very long without seeing each other. Even if it's just for a night, just for one show, hanging out sort of a thing. And it works out really well. And, like, right now, we're able to... Their tour ended in Columbus, and we're able to pick them up in Columbus and now have them with us for the next 2 weeks for the rest of our tour.
Awesome.
And it's just a very... special thing, being able to both be
definitely,
on the road.
Definitely. Do you have any tips? Just rock out. All right. You want to take the next one?
Sure.
So, as a female artist, do you feel that you guys have more difficulty when dealing with clubs, like booking shows and getting paid? Because a lot of times you guys are just out by yourselves.
Yes.
So, I mean, as female artists, do you find that there's a different way that they club owners deal with you?
I don't really feel like there's much of a difference. Us being female, I don't really feel like we're treated that much differently. A lot of times I feel like maybe we're treated a little bit better. More like ladies. But she does all the booking, so I don't know about that part.
Yeah. I think that... I would say that it's about equal. I wouldn't necessarily say we get treated better or worse. But definitely one thing that happens that really kind of burns me out is that we get pigeonholed sometimes. And so, like, people want to do, like, they want to do girl shows. And so they're like, we're gonna book you with these other girl acts, singer-songwriters and stuff that's not anything even comparable to what we do.
Right.
Because if you, like, much compares, like, you know, we're more like, you know... The Callows,
sure.
Singer songwriter lady,
sure.
Like it's far as like
right.
content and how we play and how our songs go and stuff. And
sure.
So that is kind of a bummer because people kind of want to just they
stereotype
your girl,
stereotype
you
your type of music.
Yeah, and like it's not that we're against other female musicians. We absolutely are for it. It's beautiful because there's like you know six of us that even tour
sure.
that anybody knows about. So that's wonderful. And if it was, you know, supposed to be like, you know, something to benefit that sort of a thing, we'd be all about it. But it's not. It's just a matter of just making a girl show, and people will go out to a girl show, and it's kind of a bummer.
All right. So, you both write songs for the band.
Yes.
Do you write individually and then bring them, or do you guys often write together, or are their writing styles different, to where you just write separate stuff and then bring it to each other?
We've only written one song together,
mm-hmm.
and so most of the rest of the time we just bring songs to each other and then have them incorporate and tell them what you want to add to the song and kind of things that you feel should be in the song.
Yeah, vocal parts. I think we both, when we bring a song to each other, I think that we both have input on the vocals as far as, like, we have ideas of how we want our song to go, but then the other will, you know, sort of add something when we're starting, and we're like, oh, that sounds good, or we like this part better, and it works out well.
So there is there is collaboration once you bring it to the table.
Yes, yeah.
What kind, and this is one of the most interesting, I ask this question almost everybody, but in a nutshell, like, what is your formula for writing? I mean, when do you write more, or is there a specific time, or what is your process that you use?
It's very different for each song. Sometimes I'll be in the moment, and I'll sit down with my instrument, and it'll just flow out of me, just the whole progression and the lyrics and everything. And then sometimes it takes me over months to write a song, where I'll have little parts here and there, and I add on lines and different parts of the song. And so each song is very different for me.
And you?
Well, I have this problem. And I can only write songs when I'm upset.
When you're upset?
Yeah. It's an issue. That's why I think they're all so dark. But when I get upset, it just comes out. And it just, all of it just comes out. And it's very easy for me. But I've tried time and time again to write a song just regularly, feeling fine. And it just doesn't work. I don't like the lyrics. I don't like the progression of what's going on. I think I only have one song ever that I wrote that as a love song. It's a positive song.
So you just, you're like, we gotta write songs for this next album. Somebody's gotta really upset me so we can get this done.
I know. We can't, like, I don't know, we can't really function like that. I think maybe that's what we're not, like, power out songs to make an album kind of a band. Because it's just not...
Sorry, I was getting that bug for you.
That's okay, I believe you. I saw it.
I'm trying to help her spark her creativity. Whack, no. What's the worst gig that you guys have ever played together?
Oh, man.
Let's see. Well, there's been a lot, so...
This tour or ever?
So it's one of the most memorable, worst gigs you ever played.
Oh, well, there's one recently that was really god-awful. That was in fucking... What was that stupid town? Ferd and everyone showed up. It was Louisville. That was it.
Really?
Yeah, it was awful. We went there. It was a very small stage, and there were several bands, and maybe we should talk about it.
Yeah. All right. Let's...
Anyways, there's been a few. There's one, like, it's just sometimes, you know, people just don't take into consideration space or sound systems or anything like that,
sure.
And it's just...
I think I remember one of the first shows of this tour when I had just got these pedals that I was borrowing from a friend and an amp that I was borrowing from a friend, and we went to the bar, or it was like a coffee shop where we were supposed to be playing, and nobody was there, so they're like, oh, maybe you can hop on this other show at a different bar where there's another show going on. So we go there, and they're like, okay, yeah, you could play, but you have like 25 minutes to play. So I get on stage and I get everything plugged in. I'd plugged everything in the night before and everything worked. As soon as I get everything set up, neither of the pedals are working. So I'm like, all right, fuck that. I like put those aside and I start playing. And within the first song, the amp goes out. And I had to, we had to stop the set and re-sound check. And then played for our last 10 minutes or whatever.
A lot of work for 10
minutes. We did all right at that show, though. Surprisingly. We did okay. They were really nice to us.
Awesome.
They worked out well.
So, again, I'm taking the opportunity having females on the show. So, some of these questions, you know. It's not the one that we talked about.
No. Oh, yeah.
It's a funny one. Forgive me. All right, so, you know, most girls grow up dreaming about having families and having babies and getting married. And is that something that's going to, in your future at some point? And if so, how do you see you in being able to incorporate your music in that change of a lifestyle? You want to take this first?
Well, I feel more comfortable with my life on the road from my perspective right now. I feel like Ari is more, has more of a family idea in her mind for the future, has that kind of thing planned. And so, yeah.
That's something I've always wanted in my life. Always. 100%.
How, and do you think, I mean, are you going to try to incorporate the music career still?
Yeah, of course, of course. I'm lucky that my partner plays music as well. We play music together, and it's really great. And as far as, you know, I'm not working. I'm not going to have a baby tomorrow.
Sure, sure. No.
But I mean,
I didn't put any time.
But yeah, it's something that I want in the future. And as far as right now, I'm very happy with the way my life is. And then if I was to, you know, have a baby and start a family and get married and stuff, there's no reason to stop playing music. You just, you know, don't live in a van.
Right.
I mean, it doesn't mean that you have to stop by any means.
And I had another question that I didn't have. You have another van mate that goes all with you all the time.
My baby. She's not a real baby. She's a puppy baby.
So, I guess here's a question is, obviously that's a different lifestyle than a dog is used to anyway.
Sure.
But she came into the bar. She was very, like, she laid down, sound check's coming up, you know, and she's just kind of kicked it, and, you know.
Yes.
Did you have her as a puppy and
I've
kind of trained her to be in that kind of environment?
Well, I've had Lindy since she was 11 weeks old. And she just turned 6 recently, and we're coming up on our 6 years together, me and her. And she's very special. When I first got her, I was riding freight trains and doing stuff like that, traveling around. And so she had a lot of experience being on the road, being with me 24/7 and stuff like that. So she had a lot of attention. It was very, you know, I'd spent a lot of energy training her and trying to shape her into, you know, a good road dog. And on top of her just being an amazing just soul on her own, it's worked out just so well. And
guys did awesome tonight.
Okay. Great job tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's okay. It's all right.
Daughter.
Hey. Woo. Thank you. She's amazing. Every night I bring her into the bar every single night. She sits on stage with us every single night.
Everybody's leaving the bar.
Everyone's leaving the bar.
All right, so we're gonna take a moment. Oh, last question. Can we yell it real loud?
Yell it. We'll yell.
All right, so if folks want to find out more about the Slaughter Daughters, get a hold of your music, get a hold of when you're on tour and find out about it, where do they go?
You can go to facebook.com/slaughterdaughtersband, or you can go to reverbnation.com/slaughterdaughters, or you can email me, slaughterdaughters@gmail.com. All those ways, it's directly to my iPhone, and I will be in touch.
Awesome. Ladies, thank you very much for being on the show.
Yes,
and thank you. Like I said, we've been talking for about a year, it seems off and
more
on. And,
even,
I think, and it's finally to be able to see you guys see you again. It's great. Thank you, ladies.
Yes. Thank you.
Right on! Yeah!
That was supposed to be like dramatic.
This song's called Siren.
Move around and I say, that's it.
forgot to push record.
Oh my god.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.